You can open your Bibles to Psalm 37. We apologize to you for the distractions that we have here. And they'll soon be gone. I want to thank the Lord and all of you that came and did the work yesterday. They did hard work. Now, I came dressed for work, but I didn't come to work. I put my years in. And at any rate, the next time we set up the thing that's pointed this direction because of this window, I watched all of you come in late. You were disturbing my attention by driving your cars in and up and out and walking across and shouting at each other. So until we get the shutters up, let's turn it around, make it on that direction. Less distraction.
Then we see everybody that's late over here.
No, they don't come over here. We've got a lot of distractions, and that's all right. We're used to distractions. Look, if you will, at Psalm 37, and if you would, got your Bible open, we're going to read the first 10 verses responsively. So if you would stand with your Bible, open to Psalm 37, I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on through number 10. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off, and those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, dear Lord, we thank you also for the money to proceed to take care of the problems that we've had here in the building. We appreciate that. We thank you, Lord, for the good workers that have come and helped us out. We thank you for those that come and have given and blessed, and we just thank you for all of them. We ask you, Lord, to move upon our hearts. Touch our lives, fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and touch every heart and life that's here. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. David is one of my favorite people. Here is a man that is in so many ways a great man. He's not your average fella. He wasn't a very big man, but he killed a guy as tall as that ceiling is right there. That's 10 foot tall. That's a big man. That man never lost a fight. He didn't know what it was to lose a fight. Well, David, you know, he had a little bit of experience because he was the youngest son of 7, and he was out there taking care of those sheep. And he's wasting time. You know, I see some of you got these little things. I've got one or two of them. That you spin? Spinners? That fascinated me. The first one I picked up, I never had seen one. And I said, the engineering on this thing to get the ball bearings to let that go so smoothly, I was just very much impressed. Wow, you know? And we got a lot of things like, well, David is sitting out there, and you know what? He plays around with a sling. He tries to hit that tree, and before long, he gets pretty good. You say, nobody can be that good. Hey, what about Annie Oakley? Yeah. 5 foot tall young lady. a guy that was a professional shooter came into town and put himself up against any shooters that wanted to come up against him, and Annie Oakley beat him. He married her. He married her and was her promotional man all the rest of their years. And he would put a cigarette in his mouth, and she, with a gun, would shoot the ashes off of the cigarette. You think they can't do that? You think, well, that's just a bunch of hoax, and that was some sort of joke. No, they got professional shooters right now. You can look them up on the internet. They've got guys that can flip a dime in the air and hit it with a .22 shell. I saw a guy right now at this time, great big fat guy like me, shooting with a 357 Magnum, I think it was, might have been a 45. And he's about 30 feet off, and he's got a playing card, not flat, but on edge, and he splits it. He even does it with a mirror. You can get good. I can't, but you can get good. David got good. And what do we know? He's the giant killer. Hey man, that's a hero, a real hero. He's the giant killer. He said, you know what? You know what his practice was on? Bears and lions. You think you'd get good if you were working on bears and lions? What a man. What a man. He's a musician. He sits out there and he either throws rocks for a while and then he plays on his miniature guitar or whatever he had. He created musical instruments. Tremendous things. He's a great big sinner too. He's one. 3,000 years ago he was a king and he wrote these words. And you're still reading them. I'm still reading them. I'm still amazed at them. 3,000 years ago. He got his practice on lions and bears. It's a real thing. But the Bible says, even though it tells his sins, and they were great, he was a great sinner. But the Bible says he is a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. What do you think he's talking about? You think it was the bravery of going against Goliath? Well, no, that's part of it. Him being a king and being a great general and leading his armies and dealing with people, and he made many, many good decisions. But he did have some great big sins, adultery and murder and other sins where he slipped and fell. What made him a man after God's own heart? Even in this psalm right here, if you read the whole psalm, and I'm not going to preach the whole psalm, but as you read it, he says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Now, he died at 70, so I don't know what he means by old, 50 or 60? Maybe so. How is he a man after God's own heart? It's the heart. It's the inside. It's not all the heroics. It's not all the trials you're going to go through. You know what life is? Life is a mess. Life is putting up with sickness, putting up with failure, putting up with disappointment, having your dreams go down, having disappointments in life and in people. Hey, I have one of the greatest jobs in the world. I deal with people. Is there a better job than dealing with people? I don't think so. But by the way, that's the worst job I can think of. Dealing with people. Do you realize how many problems people have? And people get, I just generally pull my foot out of my mouth to put the other one in. When you talk as much as I do and deal with things, I'm always making the wrong move.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, Lord, I sure wish you'd get me smarter Amen. Than what I am.
Amen.
And here I'm all the way here. I'm 81. Good night. I can't die young anymore, can I? Dealing with people. But that's your greatest joy. That person you love. Those children you love. Those grandchildren you love. Wow. these friends. I've got friends that are been my friend for 55 or 60 or 70 years. Still alive. Still alive. You know something? It's the heart. It was David's heart. Do you realize this, that this book I'm coming to you from, and I know I've probably told you this many times, but it's one of the favorites of mine. I read nearly a psalm every day, at least. I read the Proverbs like that, and I have a place in the Old Testament and a place in the New Testament that I run through, but I run through Psalms and Proverbs. Why? Because this man in the Old Testament has almost the insight of the New Testament. In fact, when you take some of what we're going to read here in Psalm 37, it's almost like reading the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4. Think on these things. You know what's the most important thing about you? You. Not your body, not your hair, not your shape, not your picture, not your accomplishment, not your money, not your house. It's you. Your personality, you. You remember when we were studied, I preached here a while back on the Ten Commandments. And in there he said he visits the fathers on to the third and fourth generation. And some people think, what a wicked thing to do. What a terrible thing that God should be known by visiting the iniquity. Wait a minute. There's one great rule in this life you ought to know. If you don't know it, you're just a little bit dense. What you sow, you reap. Amen. It works financially. It works in the garden. It works out in the wilderness. And it works in your life. And it works spiritually too. Some of you had a hard upbringing because of your grandfather and your father before you. And the results of that life they lived and those thoughts they had have been ingrained into you. And you have to overcome them. But that's the same thing. What about the blessings of having a Christian family back there with some morality and some character that comes down to the children and to the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren? That's life. And that's God. He wants you to know what you do is sow every day. Every day you're sowing. You think, no, I'm just having fun. I'm not hurting anybody else. My sins don't bother anybody else. I don't attack anybody else. It's all sin on me or anybody that volunteers to be with me. No. You're setting up a life for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, and I'll tell you how far down. What you sow, you reap. This year, you've been sowing while you've been reaping. Now, I want to start with a negative first. He says, evildoers, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Well, one thing he's dealing with is evil and good. Evildoers, well, you know what that means, don't you? Do you need a dictionary? Evildoers, people who do evil. People who do wrong. If you're an alcoholic and a friend decides to buy you a drink, he's not your friend. If you're a dope addict and you're trying to get off dope and your friend tells you, well, come on, it won't hurt, just take one, you'll feel better when you get through, he's not your friend. And the problem we have with a lot of these people is when they try to get off of things, they don't change their friends. And if you don't change your place and the influence coming in on you and your friends, you're not going to get off. You're not going to do it. Evildoers. Let's see what it says about evildoers. Look at verse 9. Evildoers shall be cut off. Evildoers shall be cut off. Look at verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked, that's evildoers, shall not be. Thou shalt consider, diligently consider his place, it shall not be. God does not drop down on you the minute you sin. You think sometimes, well, you know, boy, I got away with it.
No.
It's a month down the line, 2 months down the line, I got away with it. No, you didn't get away with it.
Amen.
Judgment time just hadn't come yet. But what he says here, they shall be a little while. The wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Look at verse 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, Billy. He seeth that his day is coming. He's laughing. This guy is getting away with it. He's doing it. He's getting away with it. Isn't it amazing how when you're doing evil or you're trying to rob or steal or you got these big plans to do something, you always think you're going to get away with it. And maybe you do for a while. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up on you. What he's saying here, verse 15, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Look at verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as of the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Then in the smoke they shall consume away. Look down at verse 35. I've seen the wicked in great power. Oh, we know about that. My daddy had an idea. I was complaining about one politician he had voted for. He said, son, they're all crooks. Just vote for a smart one. That was his idea. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Wow. Do you ever see somebody look like they're really successful in what they're doing? And they're selling dope, or they're robbing people, or they're cheating people, or they've got some sort of a scam running. Isn't it amazing? All these people think they're going to get away with it. They look like a great, big, healthy tree. I was born on a farm, 66 acres, that the Lampasas River went through the middle of. And about 25 of those acres were trees, pecan trees, native pecan trees. Some of them, me and two others like me, would reach around the base. That's how big that pecan tree was. And whenever I inherited the land, it had 310 bearing pecan trees still on it. You know why those trees were so good? They were planted down by the river. The running river runs all year long. It doesn't ever go dry. And you know what? Those old roots just went down in there and they had all the water they needed. Well, he said, I've seen the wicked. Like a green bay tree, like this great, big, beautiful tree. He's so successful. He's so rich. But look what it says. Yet, verse 36, he passed away. Lo, he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Look at verse 38. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Have you noticed anything particular about it? This is David writing 3,000 years ago. Have you noticed anything? He doesn't say they're going to get their punishment right away. He says it's coming on down the road. You're going to look for him one day. You're not going to find him. Why? Because God's judgment has finally come, and he's come down to visit the evildoers. Let me tell you what. Everything is not going to be settled here. Now, if you're looking for world peace, I can tell you about it. I'm going to start teaching you about it next month. On the 1st. You know when it is? After the biggest war the world has ever seen, called Armageddon. 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. You're going to find world peace. For 1,000 years, that's when you're going to get world peace. You're not looking for peace today. You think if your president walks over there to Israel and has a big dinner with somebody like that, that they're going to settle the problems of the world? There's 100 wars going on all the time. You stop one here, there's another one building up some other place over there. The wickedness is not settled in this life. If you're looking for all wickedness to be punished in this life, you're going to be sadly mistaken, because it's not going to happen. The wicked are sometimes going to look like they get ahead. But it says, in the end, it's not going to be. That's what he is. Evildoers shall be cut off. And what is it looking towards the end? Well, look, if you will, at John chapter 16, verse 33. Look at this verse with me. John chapter 16, verse 33. It's Jesus speaking to his disciples. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, what are you going to have? Tribulation. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, peace, to me, is in three ways. Peace in the world. You know, all these little girls, beautiful young women that are in the great beauty contest. What would you like? World peace. It ain't going to happen. Excuse my English. It's not going to happen. World peace is not going to happen until chapter 19 of Revelation, and that's still future. And by the way, that's after have millions and billions of people have been killed upon the face of the earth in the great wars that are yet to come. You think a war is not going to be around? Yeah. I had three grandsons in harm's way in these last wars. I was praying for them every day. I was a soldier for 4 years. I never shot a gun at anybody. I never had anybody shoot a gun at me. And in fact, like I told you many times, I guarded a prisoner with no bullets in my gun. And he knew it. We all knew it. You couldn't have a gun unless you were an air policeman on a SAC base. Whatever. Funny. Listen to me. In the world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to have family problems. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have financial problems. Businesses are going to go down. You're going to be cheated. I knew a man that worked for a company up until he was just ready to retire, and they fired him 2 months before he could retire, and he got nothing. Is that right? No, it's not right. It's as wicked as sin. Did he get paid for it? No, he didn't. Bless his heart, he lived the rest of his life in a nursing home and was very, very, very poor. Fine, sweet gentleman. Loved him. You know something? Everything is not going to get settled here. I hear sometimes when the reporters are coming around and saying, well, what do you want? Well, I want justice. I want closure. I want closure. You're not going to have it. Some people that shoot your boy are never going to get caught. That person that robbed you, he's never going to get caught for you. You're not getting your stuff back. I had a little gun. It was a four-barrel gun, 32 short rim fire. It was a boot gun. And it was my daddy's gun, what he killed hogs on. And he gave it to me because I've had a fascination with guns since I was a kid. Started hunting when I was very young. And somebody stole that from me. I never got it back. I got $700 from insurance, but I didn't get the gun back. And the gun had more sentimental meaning to me than anything. It wasn't a shootable gun anymore. In fact, Don Dalross just cleaned it up for me and made it look real nice. He was a gunsmith. You don't get everything back right here. You're not going to get closure right here. Things are going to happen to you. You just got to live with. Peace in the world? No, in the world you're going to have tribulation. Let me tell you what kind of peace you can get. You can get peace with God. Amen. That's what we talk about. That's why we're preaching. That's why we pass out tracts. That's why we have ladies' meetings. That's why we have revival meetings and mission conferences. We want somebody else to have what we found. I want somebody else to get saved. I want somebody else to have their life changed. I want somebody else to quit drinking and smoking and gambling and cheating and lying and adultery and all the things like that. I want somebody changed. That's why I preach the gospel. That's why I've talked to people over the years. I've been doing it for over 60 years. You know what? You can have peace with God. You know how I know? There was a thief on the cross by Jesus. You know what happened to him? I don't know whether he had ever seen Jesus before in his life. It doesn't tell us. I don't know whether he ever heard him preach. You know who he heard preach? Those Pharisees at the foot of the cross. He said he could save others. He can't save himself. Okay, if you can save somebody else, come on down from the cross and we'll now believe you. He heard them. And they're throwing back into his mouth. They think they're doing evil. And this old thief said, hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, Jesus is dying right beside him, and he knows it. Jesus is going to die before him. And yet he had enough faith to say, I believe you're the king, and you're going into your kingdom. Remember me.
Amen.
That's not a very good confession of faith. That's really not what we'd look for. If you come down here and we're praying with you now, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he rose again from the dead? Do you believe he paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary? Would you ask him to forgive you? Jesus didn't do any of that. He just said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. You can have peace with God today. If you're not saved, you ought to call upon Jesus Christ today, this day, not tomorrow. No matter what your friends think, your wife thinks, your husband thinks, those things are going to be gone in a short time. And you know what? Nothing to compare to the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of those songs we sing, they're beautiful gospel songs. They have power in them. Power in the blood of the Lamb to do what? To forgive your sins,
amen,
to make peace with God. I turn from being a sinner, a selfish sinner, a stupid sinner, to a child of the King in one day.
Amen.
He called me a son. He said he had forgiven all of my sins.
Amen.
He said he had washed them in the blood of the Lamb to be remembered against me no more. And bless your heart, it was. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. What a change. Oh, listen to me, friend. You can have peace with God. Yes, in me you can have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. You can have peace with God. Do you think about that? That is a tremendous thing. If you never get peace in your mind or peace in your soul, you can't have peace with God. You ought to believe it. And you ought to act upon it. And you ought to live by it. One of the greatest things, that's the greatest thing I can think of.
Right.
Having your soul saved.
Amen.
But now I want to think just a little bit more. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Look at the few things he has to say. I believe David had a heart for God. And I believe he had an insight into the New Testament Christianity that you and I can see clearly. I know he didn't see it like we see it. And I know he made sacrifices whenever they were called for in the Jewish religion. But then I know he also said, if you wanted a sacrifice, I'd give it, but you don't want it. What you want's my heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David had this insight somehow, and you read him in the Psalms. One of the greatest preachers in the world ever lived, I think, Charles Haddon Spurgeon of England in the 1800s. He wrote one commentary. Now, there are volumes of his sermons. They were printed in newspapers around the world every Sunday. The entire sermon was printed. Went around the world, and And you got about 44 volumes. I had them and I gave them to Mike Pemberton. And he has them right now. Big, big thing. But he only wrote one commentary. You know what it's called? Treasury of David. It's the greatest. You can't beat it on the Psalms. Man, what if he could have gotten to where he wrote on all the Bible? He wrote one. These Psalms in here, most of them are from David. And this is called the Book of David by many. But you know what it says in here? It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. We talk about peace in the world. Talk about peace with God. How about peace in your heart? I'm sometimes made a little fun of because I am an optimist. And part of my being an optimist, part of it's part of my nature, I know. And I think that is a heritage from a Christian background. My grandmothers and my grandfathers and my father and my mother. I think it's the same old thing, what you sow, you reap. And I remember my grandmother, when I was a little bitty child, teaching me Bible stories. I couldn't read, but she could teach me Bible stories. You remember, I've laughed sometimes about Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. That's the way my grandmother taught me that story. Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. Bless your heart. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know what? You cause yourself an awful lot of pain. Yeah. Worrying about things you can't do anything about. And one of the things we have in this generation, we just have too much news. We really do. News in the morning, news at noon, news at night, news all day long, news 24 hours a day. News, 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 news. And you know what's news? Bad news. Yeah. It's not news if it's good news. They gotta shove it in, you know. They'll, at the end of an hour's thing, they give you a little 3-minute thing where somebody did some good somewhere. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's good. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. A lot of things you can't do anything about. You get mad and you think, I'm going to fight the government. I'm going to fight City Hall. I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to make them. I'm going to. And you don't get any sleep. Amen. Because you're going to. You're going to straighten out the world. You're going to make everything right, aren't you? But you're tearing yourself up. Amen. You can have peace in your heart. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. How about that for an example of how you ought to live? How about trusting in the Lord? Amen. I'm going to leave it in the Lord's hands. If I lose here, I lose here. I'm not going to lose for eternity. And I want you to notice some of the things I was talking about, which speaking of evildoers in this psalm right here. He's talking about when they die. He's talking about when the judgment comes. He's talking about when the end comes. He's talking about when hell opens up. And they dashed into hell forever. Wow. That scared me. I didn't get saved because I loved Jesus. I didn't get saved because I wanted to kill myself. I got saved because I was scared of hell and I heard Jesus would save me, and he did.
Amen.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Do you know what we're talking about? We're talking about your thoughts. We're talking about the way you think. And some of you have been cursed by your mother and father by the way you think. They didn't teach you right. They didn't help you. They put a stumbling block in your way. You need to change it. And here's David 3,000 years ago telling you, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Man, it would change your life if you could just do those three things. It'd change your life. It changed the way you outlook. It changed the way you met people. It changed the way you handled somebody's sorrow. Changed the way you'll handle your own sorrow. It's what goes on in your head. Now, you may have had a father or a grandfather or a great-grandfather. We got a bunch of people in prison. The majority of men in prisons across the United States and probably the world were there because they didn't have a good dad. Or they didn't have a dad at all. And they didn't have the right kind of teaching. And they didn't get anybody to help them. And you know what? They're suffering because of their inheritance of what God said He'd do. What you sow, you reap. You can't do something and it doesn't bother anybody else but you. What you do will affect your children. What you do will affect your marriage. What you do will affect your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And you better wake up to the fact and change the way you think. Here's a man 3,000 years ago, a shepherd, a fighter, a giant killer, a king, a general, a magician, an inventor. He was one in a million. He's a genius. He's something spiritual. He's something different. And look what he's saying here. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. When you take this book, does it delight you? It ought to. You ought to let it. Do you know what? That's you. That's you. You don't have to. Many people don't. Delight thyself in the Lord. Trust also in the Lord. What else is saying here? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Commit thy way. Lord, my life's yours. If I'm supposed to be poor in the end of it, so be it. If I'm supposed to have troubles, so be it. If I'm supposed to have cancer, so be it. If I'm supposed to die of lung disease or something, so be it. Can you trust the Lord? You know what? There are people that trust the Lord in the midst of terrible, terrible circumstances right now. And it has been through history. You read the history of Christianity. You read even some of the men that we call great men. They suffered. They went to jail. They spent years in prison. And they do it joyfully. Testimony I heard of Watchman Nee was, he was put in prison in China. Spent 20 years in a prison. The only person that could visit him those 20 years was his wife. And she died 3 years before he died. He died in prison. He would sing. Heard the testimony of others that had been in the prison with him. They could hear this rich baritone voice singing praise to God in a prison cell. Yep. How about Paul and Silas? They got 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails on their backs. 39 lashes with a whip meant to hurt. Thrown in a prison, being Roman citizens. And the prisoners heard them at night, singing praises to God. I don't know that I've got that much faith or that much strength or that much whatever they had. Amen. I hope if I ever hit that place, God will give it to me.
Amen.
Think about it. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. You say, well, those are just sayings. No, they're not. They're ideas for living. They're God telling you how to live and have peace in your own heart. Where you can sleep at night and not lay awake trying to figure out how you're going to get somebody back for what they've done for you. You guys finally can pray for somebody that's wicked. Now, that's a hard thing to do. I have a hard time. I sort of grew up on a you hit me, I'll hit you back twice. It's hard. You be mean to me, I'll be mean to you. You be smart with me, I'll be smart with you. You cuss me out, I'll cuss you. The only Spanish when I surrendered to be a missionary that I knew was cuss words. And you know what you were saying to me when you were cussing me out, and I knew what I was saying to you, and I was cussing you back out. That's all I knew is Spanish. But I praise the Lord, I preached it long enough to win some souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, commit thy way unto the Lord. How about number 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. I love patience when it comes to people driving on Bandera Road. Boy, we have a picture of patience on Bandera Road. Boom, 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 boom. And you go 5 miles down the line and you're 3 cars apart. Wait patiently. How about trusting the Lord? And how about putting up with some patience? Boy, we don't have much patience, do we?
Amen.
He says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And then in verse 8, cease from anger. Cease from anger. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. You understand that? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. In everything. That's the bad things. In everything. That's the good days and the bad days. That's all your days. In everything. What's God trying to tell you? By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Every day with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That sounds like Psalm 37. Psalm 37 says, fret not thyself, trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, rest in the Lord, cease from anger. You know what you need? You need the peace of God in your heart. Everybody in here, you need the peace of God in your heart. You don't need to be that angry. You don't need to be that guy that's going to straighten everything out. You don't need to be the guy that's going to change the government around. You need to get a hold of your heart and not let it have that negative thing that it's had all of its life, but turn around and turn to God and get the positive, good advice that David gave you and Paul gave you. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. I wish you'd trust Christ as your Savior. I wish you could have peace. My Christian friend, I wish you had the peace of God in your heart today. Because I know I'm a pastor. I've been doing it over 60 years. I know a lot of you don't have peace in your heart. Some of it's from your background. Some of it's because you haven't believed the Bible yet enough. Some of it's because you haven't even read it enough yet. You don't even know what it says.
Amen.
And most of it's because you just don't trust.
Amen.
You just don't rest. You just haven't gone to God and said, I'm claiming that verse, Lord. I want the peace of God in my heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of David. We know he was a great sinner and he paid for his sins in many ways. And yet, Lord, he's a blessing. We thank you for the Apostle Paul. He's a blessing. We thank you for the word of God we can put our finger on and say, yes, I do believe that. Yes, I can trust you. Lord, I know we can trust you. And we don't have to have everything worked out down here. We know it's all going to be worked out up there. God, we thank you. We thank you for your promises and your blessings. If there is a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray, Lord, you'd touch him. Bring him to Christ. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.